bit more about rightly dividing today. Some of this we're gonna be retilling some old ground here, but I want everybody to be on the same page and understand why the Bible seems to look like it contradicts itself occasionally. Why a lot of folks would say that doesn't make sense, and where a lot of people get their false doctrine. We're going to talk about rightly dividing. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we're going to look at, we'll show our little timeline here. And we'll go Old Testament law, church age, tribulation, millennial reign. Let's see. Rapture. And the Lord coming back for the Battle of Armageddon. So we... couple of ladies that asked some questions the other day, and we were talking about some things. The whole church needs to understand this. We are moderate dispensationalists. We believe that things are different before Calvary than they are after Calvary. Hebrews tells us there can't be a New Testament without the death of a testator. The testator had to shed his blood and die before there could be a New Testament. So, and we, you know, everybody admits that there's an Old Testament and a New Testament. Now the problem comes in is where you divide it. The Old Testament, New Testament, as a book, we see it ends in Malachi, the Old Testament, and Matthew starts what they call the New Testament. But the New Testament doesn't really start till the death of the testator. So I want to talk about that a little bit. In Matthew, before Calvary, say before the cross, you're in an Old Testament setting, aimed primarily at Israel. Remember, Jesus Christ said he had not come but the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So Jesus Christ, primarily, his primary ministry on this earth was to Israel. It wasn't to the church. Now, saying that, I'm talking about his preaching. Big part of Jesus Christ's ministry was going to Calvary. He did that for the church. But his preaching was aimed at the Jews, primarily. So Matthew is a transition book, transitioning from the Old Testament to the New Testament. So when you're looking at the book of Matthew, I know a lot of folks say, well, the book, you know, everything Jesus wrote was for the church. That's not true. I mean, Jesus Christ said himself that he was focused primarily on the lost sheep of the house of Israel. When you're looking at the new Matthew, even though it's in a New Testament part of the Bible, it's all not all New Testament doctrine. So you're looking at Jesus Christ preaching to the Jews, and he's preaching to them about a couple different things. First of all, that he's the Messiah. He's also preaching to him about the coming tribulation and a millennial reign. So when you see something that doesn't make sense for the church in Matthew, it usually goes to the tribulation or the millennial reign. He's preaching about the tribulation and millennial reign. They're asking questions about the last days. They're not asking questions about the last days of the church age. They're asking questions about the last days for Israel. In the tribulation time, millennial reign, the end of the earth. They're asking things about when shall these things be? Well, he's talking about the tribulation, millennial reign, the end of the earth. He's not talking about the church age. Now, we say we're in the last days of the church age, but last days in the Bible very seldom refers to the church. It's referring to The last day is here. He that endureth to the end, the last day is here where we get a new heaven and a new earth after the millennial reign. But when shall these things be? You know, when is your kingdom coming? This is what they're talking about. The gospel of the kingdom is talking about this. It's talking about Jesus Christ ruling and reigning on this earth. You say, well, there's only one gospel. No, there's not only one gospel. There's a gospel of the kingdom, and there's a gospel, church age gospel, to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In the tribulation, the gospel means good news. The good news for them is the millennial reign's coming. Amen? That's the good news for the Jews in the tribulation. The good news is for us is we're saved and the rapture's coming. You know, we're saved by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Rapture's coming. So Matthew, when you don't see something that doesn't make sense, he's talking to the Jews about the tribulation and the millennial reign. And a lot of folks, even Baptists, want to plug in the, you know, judgment of nations and say that's for the church and all that stuff. Judgment of nations, he's judging nations according to how people from nations according to how they dealt with Israel in the tribulation. That comes up here in the millennial reign. So Matthew is transitioning from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Acts. The book of Acts. The book of Acts is transitioning from Israel to the church. It's a funny looking H. Put a longer leg on it. So, when you're looking at Acts, the things in Acts chapter 2 are not the same things as in Acts chapter 28. Nobody in Acts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 is asking Peter how to get eternal life. They're not asking that. They're asking, what do we do? We've crucified our Messiah. They've realized they've crucified the Messiah. What must we do? I did mess that church thing up. So what must we do? So he's telling them to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Then you get the Church of God, the Roman Catholics, you get the Methodists, and a lot of other people, Lutherans, all goofed up on this, thinking, well, you got to be baptized. That's part of your salvation. Oh, the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter number 8, he says, what doth hinder me to be baptized? He said, you believe? And he said, he believed. So he believed first, and he was baptized. He got saved, then he got baptized. The Philippian jailer, he got saved, then he got baptized. You get people saying, well, you shouldn't be baptized in this age. Well, Christ said to baptize, we baptize. You're not going to heaven because you get baptized physically. You're going to heaven because you call on Christ and you're baptized spiritually into one body, which is Christ. But Acts, when it doesn't make sense, you got to realize it's going from Israel to the church age. When it doesn't make sense to us, for us. Not everything in the book of Matthew is written for us. Not everything in the book of Acts is written for us. To us. It's all written for our learning and admonition. Then you get to Hebrews. Hebrews transitioning from the church age to the tribulation. So there's stuff in Hebrews for the church, but it's transitioning from one period of time to another. It's transitioning. Matthew's going from this age to this age. He's telling them about this and about this, the tribulation, the millennial reign, but it's also after he sheds his blood, it's transitioning to this church age. So Matthew's a transitioning book going from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Acts is going from dealing with Israel. Now look, Acts is here. Acts is dealing with Israel to the Gentiles, turning to the Gentiles. So Acts is dealing with time post-Calvary, but it's a transition time where God's bringing in the full church age. Hebrews, again, he's going from the church age to the tribulation time. He's telling the Hebrews, he's telling the Hebrews are the Jews, right? So he's telling the Hebrews there's a more excellent sacrifice. Everything they're trying to do, we talked about this before. Netanyahu said, well, we're doing all this stuff. We're doing all this stuff. So we got to do more. He said, all the glorious, wonderful things we're doing, I paraphrase, we're not doing enough. Well, what Jesus Christ is telling them through his words in Hebrews is what you're doing, the Old Testament stuff you're doing, there's a more excellent sacrifice. Everything you're doing, there's a better payment for it. They had temporary payments for things. Jesus Christ gave an eternal payment. So he's telling them, somebody else paid everything, and it's your Messiah, Jesus Christ. So when you're looking at these books, and there are other books too, like James and different things. We're not going to get into that. These are the primary books that people get confused on their doctrine. Matthew, going from the Old Testament to the New Testament. The biggest part of Matthew, the biggest part of preaching in Matthew is to the Jews about the tribulation millennial reign. Acts, transitioning from Israel to the church. So by the time you get to the end of Acts, by the time you get through Acts chapter 7, they've rejected Jesus Christ, they've rejected the Holy Spirit, they've rejected God the Father. By the time you get to the end of the book, it's full-blown church age, but it's transitioning and changing along the way. Guess who else is transitioning and changing along the way? Peter, the one that starts preaching the book of Acts. He starts getting understanding more doctrine about church age. And God gave that to him as he wanted to give it to him so he could transition from one place to another, one time frame to another. Hebrews, from the church age to the tribulation. So that's, when you're reading those things, this is what you're looking at. Why would God do that? Well, I mean, him transitioning from Old Testament to New Testament, from Israel to the church, and from the church to the tribulation just shows his long-suffering and mercy. Could you imagine doesn't God do the same thing with you? Doesn't he tell you, straighten up, 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 I'm going to tell you this, that, and tries to bring you along? What if you messed up and he just dropped the switch and said, it's over, now we're going on? He doesn't do that. He's long-suffering, so he gave a transition period where he's bringing the Jews along from the Old Testament to the New Testament. A lot of the Jews were getting saved. He used the Jews to start the New Testament church. So he's bringing them along. He's not just, and see, there's another reason you can look at the Bible without Romans even and say God's not through the Jews. He was bringing them along. And he never quit talking. And Jesus Christ, if he was through with the Jews, you'd have to throw away Isaiah and Matthew and Hebrews and Revelation. Oh, we're going to get to that too. Revelation is transitioning from church age to tribulation to the millennial reign. On into eternity. Well, really, that's not talked about as a transition book, but it is. Revelation is dealing with the churches to start with. You got the rapture of John, which is a type of church in chapter 4. Then you got the tribulation messages all the way up through 18 or so. And then the millennial reign. And then the white throne judgment on into eternity. So that people look at, and see, that's where people get really goofed up, and that's where they get these crazy ideas on prophecy and crazy ideas on, they're opening the sixth seal. All this stuff's happening right now. No, this stuff's not happening right now. The majority of the stuff in Revelation is going to happen after the rapture. After the rapture. Now, we can see things being set up now. And like I say, sometimes there are dual applications in the Bible. Like when you're reading about, when Jesus Christ is talking about, we talked about this, the other day, the ladies, when he's talking about this generation will not pass away before you see these things, well, there was a generation standing right there that we're going to see the destruction of the temple in 70 AD. So that could apply to that. But he's also talking about these things are going to happen in the generation that's around when these particular things are happening at the tribulation, or the end of the church age, tribulation area, they're not going to pass away before they see this. So there's going to be a generation, there's a generation alive right now, I believe, that are going to see the end of the tribulation on into millennial reign. So that's a dual application. But the Revelation is a transition book. You can't just look at that and say, well, that's all the church. that's what they try to do, because they try to say God's through with Israel, so this is all applying to us and the whole world. No, it's not. It applies primarily to Israel. After the church is gone, God turns back to Israel to turn them back to him, and that's what that tribulation is about. Daniel chapter 9, time of Jacob's troubles, time appointed to Daniel's people. So there it is, that tribulation time still ahead. And in the millennial reign, look, this church age, God went to Calvary and made it about you and me, so you and I can get saved and make everything about him. He's going to make this about the Jews so they can make it about him. Up here, it's all going to be about him. He's going to be sitting on the throne. Guess what? That doesn't change. On into eternity, it's all about him. It's not all about people that are on this earth today that are saved church age salvation. There's a whole lot more in the Bible. Like I say, the Bible's primary focus is here. And here, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Most of what you read in the Bible is about the millennial reign. There's far more about the millennial reign than there is about the church age. Old Testament prophecy. I mean, there's a ton of Old Testament prophecy about Jesus ruling and reigning on the throne of David and on the physical throne here on this earth. So the whole Bible is full of transitioning. And like I say, Matthew's is a place where a lot of people get false doctrine. And that's where, the guy with the sweater, Mr. Rogers, that's where he was like, his wife said, well, if anybody is a sheep, it's you, not a goat. Well, it's a judgment of nations they're looking at. He's either lost or saved. He's a church age person. He's either lost or saved. He either trusted Jesus Christ and he's on his way to heaven, or he is lost on his way to hell when he left this world. That's the way it is. It wasn't God was going to decide, okay, I weighed all your works and you're a sheep. That's not what was happening. He was either lost or saved. I believe he was saved. I believe he's all goofed up on Bible doctrine, but I believe he was saved. And I believe Goodwill still has his sweater. I think I seen it the other day. But Matthew's a good place to get messed up if you don't believe in rightly dividing. Acts is a good place to get messed up even if you do believe in rightly dividing. That gets really dicey in parts of that. That's really confusing at times. Hebrews is pretty obvious that it's not written to us. Just like James is written to the 12 tribes of Israel. So a lot of people don't read their Bible. They just count on somebody else telling them what it means because they don't understand it. Tell me what it means. Okay, I'm going to tell you how to understand what it means on your own. When it doesn't make sense, it either fits here, here, or here. When it makes sense with Pauline church age doctrine, it fits here. The stuff that doesn't, he that endureth to the end shall be saved, that fits over here. That doesn't fit here. I mean, practically you can say if we endure to the end, the rapture, we're going to be saved out of this mess, practically. But that's not doctrinal. Doctrinally, when he that endureth the end shall be saved, is the folks that are making it through the tribulation, not taking the mark, trusting God. They're trusting God and refusing to worship the devil and take his mark. So is that, anybody have any questions, comments, sister?